You're listening to 1440 in Fort Worth, Texas. For more information, visit 1440.com.
Well, tonight we are continuing our series, Boundaries. Yeah. For those of you who weren't here last week, we kind of gave an overview, and so I will give you a brief recap. Number one, boundaries are a personal property line. This is something that indicates your bounds or your limits. Just like you say, I have a limit. Your boundaries indicate what those limits are. Now, they determine what you do and how you do it. An example I gave last week was in sports. How many of you have played sports, whether it's on a team, PE, in your backyard? Okay. So for the most part, we all know that when you start a game, you have to learn the basics. And so we all love it when you read the instructions or the coach is like, well, before we put our pads on, we're going to run and we're going to get conditioned. My dad was a football coach and he would tell me about they'd have practice two times a day, 7 a.m., 7 p.m. And that's how they spent their summers. And they would have conditioning. So they wouldn't even wear their pads. They would run. And he'd say, well, we're football players. Why aren't we tackling? Why aren't we throwing the ball? Because you have to be conditioned first. And so they learned the basics of the sport, of the game, and prepared themselves for the game. And so that's how it is when you have your boundaries. In the beginning, you kind of have to learn the basics. You have to find out what is my boundaries and how do they apply to my life. Just like in a game when you have to identify what's the game, how do I play it. Now, when you're in the middle of a game, you don't pay as much attention to the rule book because you should already know it. And just like when you're in life, you shouldn't have to reference a rule book every day. Do this, don't do this. Okay, that's good, that's bad. It's something that you should already know. It's part of you. And so as you learn these boundaries, as you learn your core, you're going to be able to go through life already knowing who you are. And so that's part of what this boundary series is identifying some of those things. Boundaries are the same way as in those sports. In the beginning, you have to define your boundary. What are they? What do I believe? What does that look like with my friends? What does that look like with my teachers and my family? And then afterwards, you focus less and less on those boundaries because you're in the game. You're going. And just like in sports, you don't really pay attention to the sidelines until you're coming close to stepping out. And then you see those players like tiptoeing along the line because they're trying not to fall out. And so they bring it back to the center of the field. And so it's the same with you. The boundaries won't be as magnified in your life once they're part of you unless you're on the fine line. And then that's when they become magnified to you. And so last week we talked a lot about what is a boundary, what does that look like? And the more and more we talk, it's going to be less about the boundary and more about how do you interact with people with it? How does this affect my life? Number two is boundaries are based on truth. They give structure and a sense of ownership to the question, what do I believe? And so you all have beliefs. Whether you could sit here and say, here's my top five beliefs, or here's what I believe about this, the way you act, the way you talk is going to show me what you believe. I can know what you believe based on how you interact with others or how your conversation goes. Bound, defined in the dictionary, which is the first part of boundaries, means devoted to or attached. It also means under a legal or moral obligation. So a boundary is something that defines what are your morals, what are your values, what are you attached to, what is the obligation or the attachment that you have in your life. And that's what a boundary is. It's something that defines those areas. Now, what you believe shapes who you are, what you do, and how you allow others to interact with you. And so the further we get into the series, it's going to be about this is who I am, and this is what I believe. What does that look like in a relationship with someone who doesn't agree with me? What does that look like when someone debates me? Or what does that look like when someone wants to do something that isn't on my priorities list? And so this is going to help you guys be able to interact with people and to be able to define who you are. And it's not only important to know what you believe or why you believe it, but what you're basing it off of. Have you ever asked someone, why do you believe it? Well, I don't know. Well, I don't know. There's not a whole lot of backing with that. And so you have to know, why do you believe something? So number three, boundaries are found in the Word of God. The Word of God is your ultimate truth. And so that's what we've used as our foundation for this. The scripture that we are using as the theme scripture is Psalms 86:11. If you want to turn there real quick, I'm reading from New Living Translation. Yeah. says, show me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth. And so the two things that I've really pulled out of this main thing is, well, that's the first one. If you could go to number 2. Slide. Okay. Teach me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth. Now, his ways are truth. And so the more and more time we spend in his word, the more and more time we spend with him, we're going to know what truth is and what his ways are. And that's what's going to define how we live. And so that's our theme scripture for this. His ways and his words are going to be our boundaries. So when I'm talking throughout this series, it's not going to be what does Jen believe. It's not going to be my opinion. I'm just going to be reading you guys scriptures and giving you scenarios to help you define what do you believe and what is your foundation for it. And so last week, we discussed 10 specific boundaries. Those are the 10 commandments. And when I said, who knows the 10 commandments, about 8 of you raised your hand out of the 115 that I looked on the attendance sheet. So I said, homework for the week. Who will learn the 10 commandments? So is there more than 8 people in here who know the 10 commandments? Oh, much better. Is there anyone who wants to come up here and tell me the 10 commandments? Cassandra?
Have none but me as God, him God. Do not make idols, don't worship them. Do not use the Lord's name in vain. Keep the Sabbath holy. Honor your father and mother. Ooh, this one. Honor your father and mother. Do not, no hints. Don't steal. Do not commit adultery. Do not lie. Don't covet. And don't slander your neighbors.
One more.
Oh, really?
Yeah, slander and lie are the same. In that sense.
Oh, what am I missing?
Probably one of the most...
Murder?
Murder.
Okay.
Good job. If you go see Desiree, she has a gift card for you. Good job. We have a gift card for you after service, so you can get a little treat from Starbucks. And to study more... homework there. No, I'm kidding. Who can tell me the scripture reference that I used last week to reference the commandments? David?
Exodus 20.
Nice. Awesome. See Desiree after service and you too will get a gift card. Why do you guys think it's important that we know the Ten Commandments? Who can tell me? Christopher? So you know the rules. No, I said last week that obedience brings the blessings. So if you do what someone asks, blessing follows. And so that's why you get Starbucks cards. Wesley?
Personally, because I remember you talked last week about people say we should defend the Ten Commandments, but about 75% probably don't know what they're talking about. So it's good to know what we're defending for and keep that as your boundaries rather than just say, defend the Ten Commandments and you have no idea what they are.
Exactly. Sometimes we stand up for things and we actually don't know what we're standing up for. And so I want it to be where if someone questions you or even wants information, I'm sure you guys could name someone you know who doesn't necessarily know the Lord. Or they may, but they aren't walking in it. And so I want you to be able to be an open book for those people where if they have a question, they know they can come to you and you don't have to pull out your Bible app real quick or call mom and be like, what was that scripture reference? That you guys know it off the top of your heads. I know you guys giggle, but even now I think my mom's kind of my go-to. And so I even call her, I'm like, can you help me? I'm trying to find this one thing. But if I'm out at Walmart leading someone to the Lord, I can't be like, it's in Romans somewhere. So next time you have a Bible, just go look it up. But here's basically what it says. So I want you guys to be equipped so that when you're in those situations, you know what you believe. And you know how to lead someone into what you believe. And so that's mainly what this is about is the Ten Commandments are a guideline for how people should live. It's important not to murder. It's important not to steal. But even more importantly, those are guidelines for how to live. Those kept them living in love with each other. And so that's what our guidelines are about, is helping us interact with people and walk in love with them as well. And so tonight what we're going to discuss is our personal boundaries. We've talked about what is a boundary and how to identify a boundary, but tonight we're going to talk about some specific personal boundaries to help you define what are those in your life. So turn with me to 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "Don't you realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and who was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God brought you at a high price, so you must honor God with your body." Now, whenever you use something that isn't yours, ideally you should give it more care than if you were to your own items. And what do I mean by that? I just moved out of a rental home. When I moved out, I was expected to have it be in as good as condition or better than when I moved in, because I was borrowing, I was using someone else's home. And growing up, when I would borrow things from friends, my mom would always say, remember to wash it or remember to return it in better condition. And so just like that principle is in the natural, it says right here that our bodies are not our own, that we belong to God. So he's given you something. And so just like you would be a good steward of your friend's iPod if they let you borrow it, or at my age, we let people borrow our cars, you're letting someone drive off with $15,000 of your assets, and something could happen to that. And so you would hope that it would return in better condition. And most of my friends, their mode of operation is you fill the car back up with gas, you get it washed, and you return it. And they're returning it better than they got it from me. And so what we are to do with this body is, it's not ours. He gave it to us. It's a gift. And so just like you would give special care to something that was a gift to you, we have to give special care to this, because it belongs to him. And he's given us this gift. And so what we do with it is going to affect how we serve him. It's going to affect how we serve others. Now, a home, I gave the example of a rental home. When I rented that home, it wasn't just the walls. That doesn't just define a home. It was everything on the inside is part of that home. And so when you say the temple, my temple is where the Holy Spirit resides, that's just not my, it's just not what I can touch. It's everything. It's my heart. It's my mind. It's every part of me is the temple. And so just because it says my body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, we don't just think about, well, then I better be careful about this or careful about that. That we should pay special attention to all the different areas, the boundaries, you could say, that would give access to things. Turn with me to Proverbs 4:23. Yeah. It says, New Living Translation, "Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life." And then the NIV is, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do will flow from it." And the one I wanted to focus on is the New Standard Version, "Keep thy heart with all diligent, for out of it are all the issues of life." I can't tell you how many times I've heard you guys say, they have issues. Have you not? You'd be like, you have issues. That's drama. And you guys always talk about, like, oh, drama, I don't want drama. Oh, that's an issue, someone take care of it. But really, all of those things it says right here, from out of it flows the issues of life. And so many times we hear this scriptural, guard your heart when it comes to relationships. Don't let that boy steal your heart. And that's not even what I'm talking about tonight. I'm talking about guarding your heart, for affects everything you do. So what are you letting into your heart? If that's the storehouse, if that's what affects everything you do, what are some of those areas? Guarding your heart, the boundaries in your body can be your ears, they can be your eyes, they can be your mouth. Those are just a few of those things. What you see, what you listen to, and what you say are gates, if you will, are openings into your heart. And then out of those gates come out what's in the heart. It's like a cycle. What you put in is in the heart, and then that's what comes out when there's opportunity. And so when we have these different areas, we need to guard our heart, because those are the areas in which things can come in. And so your boundaries are revealed by your actions and your words, and more specifically, what you see, what you listen to, and what you do with your actions and your time, and what you say. So what I wanted to do for a minute is just to get an idea. We did this a couple weeks ago. I want to hear what you have to say. And my pen will work. Yes. What do you guys watch? What do you see? What are magazines you look at, books you read, TV shows, movies? What are some of those things? And, oh, I want to let you guys know, the football Danny's holding for this series, that's our talking stick. So if you are holding the football, you are holding the opportunity to speak. So as he passes that around, throw it to the next person.
Just anybody?
Anybody. Football, thank you. Next. Oh, dear. Jonathan?
Nice.
Your laptop.
The laptop's the wallpaper.
Wallpaper, got it. Okay, who else? Pat. Wesley?
Baseball.
Baseball. Okay, let's get some girls in here. And maybe Danny needs to be the keeper of the ball. Hey, Sarah, while they're finding the football, what do you watch? Okay, what are your favorite shows?
I like Psych.
Psych?
Yeah.
Okay, what else? David?
MacGyver.
What? MacGyver, like Mr. Pencil Paperclip Solves the World? Okay. I don't know how to spell MacGyver. What else?
Novelas.
What?
Novelas. It's Spanish soap operas.
Okay.
I don't know why I know that. How we'll get somebody over there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. I watch my dad sitting at the couch.
You watch your dad. Okay. What else do you guys watch? Cassandra. Pride and Prejudice. Who else? Michaela?
American Idol.
American Idol?
It's my mic on.
No, you throw it.
So you think you can dance? Don't have to say it to the mic. Okay.
Okay. What do you guys listen to?
Do you really want me
Matt?
To
Matt?
I can't answer.
Did I see it?
Johnny Cash.
The paper boy.
Jen, it's one word and a D-A before it, please. There you go.
Asia.
What else?
Brett Nicole.
Epic score.
Epic score, can I have the ball? Thank you.
Don't be mad, Dad.
Okay, two more. Isaac. T-Mac.
I think she meant to say One Direction.
All right. And then what do you guys do?
Shop.
Shop? Bailey, what do you do?
The paper boy.
I got that. Okay, what else do you guys, school? Facebook. What else do you do? Video games?
Write music.
It's number one. Christopher. What? Baseball.
Make videos. Make YouTube
videos. Just do it.
Yes.
Swimming.
Madison. Books. Texting. Did someone say texting?
Eat pizza.
Okay, what do you guys talk about?
Football.
Shh. Who has the ball? Who has the ball? Matthew, pass the ball to someone. Earn me.
What do we do? Is that what you said?
What do you talk about?
What we talk about?
Fun things like.
I know you guys are all talking right now, so you've got to talk about something. Isaac?
All right, what do we talk about? Yeah, we actually talk about preachers, me and him.
About what?
Preachers, like Jesse Duplantis.
Preachers, okay.
Gareth Copeland and stuff like that, yeah, yeah.
Danny, just go ahead and. Katie.
Either boys or in boys' cases, girls.
Boys and girls. Yeah, that got real quiet. That was interesting.
Gossip. Gossip.
Gossip. Danny. Go to Renee.
Food.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. All the way. Yes.
Renee took mine.
Joseph.
Check, 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 check.
Movies.
Movies.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. One more.
Pinterest. Pinterest.
Pinterest. I've heard about Pinterest. Okay. Now, I've heard people say that what they watch and what they listen to doesn't affect them. I listen to the music because it has a cool beat. I watch that show because it entertains me.
That's a lie.
That is a lie. That's about as false as saying what you eat does not affect you. You guys know what I'm talking about, right? Okay. So, it's safe to say you are what you eat, right? Have you heard that before? You are what you eat. I have a little example for you guys. Last night, I took this vase, and I put some water in it. Then I put a little food coloring in it, and I stuck a flower in it. Now, overnight, my pretty little white flowers have these blue polka dots on them. Kind of pretty. Now, that's not natural. That's not normal, right? Now, I have these other flowers. They were actually in clear water right now, but they have blue dots on them. So you could say their atmosphere is normal. This isn't normal, right? But the blue dots show me that there's something not normal about this flower. That's not natural for the flower to have blue dots on it with clear water. But I know where it's been. It's been with this blue water because I put it in here. So then we have these flowers, clear water, white flowers. Now, what's my point? What you surround yourself with, what your atmosphere is, what you listen to, what you talk about, what you look at, it does affect you. Now, I checked on these before I went to bed. There was no blue up here. I'm thinking, come on, blue. I need you to go to the top of the flower. But it started on the inside. It started down here. It starts on the inside of the flower and it comes out. And so there's times where you're like, it's not bothering me. Look, it's not affecting me at all. But it's already in you. And then it's coming out to the top. So just like if I looked at this flower that's in the clear water and go, these daisies are kind of funny. They're blue-ish and have blue tips. But they're in white water. Like, why would they be that way? Because they've been around something that's affected them, and so now they're blue. So just like these white daisies are white, if I put another food coloring in here, let's say red, it's starting to permeate the water. I'm not even stirring it. I'm not doing anything to it. I just put it in there. And so now my water's becoming red. Now, there's such thing as red flowers, but I know a daisy that's been dyed versus a daisy that's supposed to be a certain color. And so just like you guys know that there's certain things that are natural or what something's supposed to look like, its original design, you can also see if it's been affected by something. And so that's the same application of everything we talked about up here. There's not necessarily bad things up there, but it affects you. What you watch, what you do affects you. And if it's not negative, and I'm not going to dissect each little one up there, but even if it's not negative, it's taking your time away from something that might be positive or might be better for you. So we have this board of things that you guys love to do. And just like last week, we showed that example where we had the sand that represents just stuff we do, things of little importance. And then we had the rocks that represented our priorities. The same is here. This is sand stuff, most of it. Stuff that isn't priority. And there are some priorities in here. But there's going to be room for all of that, but you have to find the priority. You have to know what's number one. And so tonight we're going to look at some of those openings, some of those boundaries that affect what you become. Just like this flower was affected by the blue water, there's some things that affect us. Number one is our eyes, what we look at, what we watch. I was looking online at some different magazines today, just covers. I didn't read through any magazines online, but I just looked at the covers. And one of them was People magazine. It said, world's most beautiful woman, world's most beautiful guy. And I thought, yeah, they're pretty people, or they're handsome, they're attractive. But the focus is on how tan are they, how good's their hair, how toned is their body. And it just magnifies 50 pages of people and how they look. You don't see magazines on who has the best character or who has made the most impact. And you hear about that every once in a while, the Nobel Peace Prize and different people get awards. But things like this take your attention and show you, oh, I want to be like her. Oh, I'm not pretty because I don't look like her. I'm not athletic enough, muscular enough, talented enough because I didn't make it on that magazine cover. Chances are you won't, but those things don't matter. I don't remember who was on the cover of People magazine June 2011. I don't remember those things. Those aren't important, but yet we give it so much attention. Who's dating? Who broke up? Who just got a divorce? Who's on the set of this? Who got a secret engagement? Who went off and got married? And we find out all these things as interesting, but really they don't mean a whole lot. Or the music we listen to. Now, I don't want to step on any toes. I might. I will step on yours. No. I was listening to a song the other day, just flipping through the channels. I did not even listen to probably more than like 15 seconds of the song because I'm thinking, what is this? For the rest of the day, it was in my head. cannot stand it. Don't even know what the rest of the song is, so I could be humming it right now, and you guys would be like, you don't know what the third chorus says. But we get these songs stuck in our heads, and we get these things, and I was trying to study today, and that song started creeping up in my head again. I'm like, no, get away. Not even tell you what it is. Y'all just laugh. But the point is that you listen to things. No, really, I'm not going to tell you what it is, because you will laugh. But what you look at, what you focus on, is affecting you. Example, in college, my friend and I would watch 24 on Monday nights after hall meeting. I liked the show a lot. After 4 episodes, 2 a.m., I had to walk up a flight of stairs to my dorm because that wasn't where I was staying. Can you walk me up there? You know, like, the dorms are locked. It's a girl dorm. There's not any scary people in there. But I started to get this fear of nothing. I didn't think, you know, I wasn't like, oh, Jack Farrell, save me. But it was just a general fear. Like, I started to question things like, what if? Or could this happen? And you just start thinking about things. And I eventually stopped watching the show because it was an entrance of fear into my life. And that's what I was watching was affecting my mood. And so then you guys say, I'm lonely. I want a boyfriend. Or you don't feel good about yourself for those things. Are you watching those romantic movies that just make you feel all lonely and mushy-gushy? You know, I need that really bad. And you guys also use these examples of like, I can't get him off my mind. Were you stalking him on Facebook before you went to bed? Because if you say I dreamt about him, it was probably because he was in the forefront of your mind before you went to bed. So it wasn't God putting him in your mind in your dream saying, yes, he's the one. It was you putting him on your mind, which was putting him in your thoughts. Are you tracking with me here? So sometimes we put these things in our minds and we think, Lord, is that you? No, you spent an hour on his Facebook last night. You're going to dream about him. And I'm not going to pick on anyone, point any fingers out, but sometimes we get these things where I can't get someone off of mine. Now, sometimes there is, the Lord puts someone on your mind. You're supposed to pray for them. Maybe you're supposed to contact them. But there's other times when things are on your mind because you put it there. And so if you're struggling with things, identify, I am what I eat. What have I been feeding on? And the same is what you listen to. Turn to Proverbs 20:12. Ears to hear and eyes to see, both are gifts from the Lord. Now, these are gifts to you. Just like your body's a gift to you, your ears and your eyes, everything about you is a gift to you. And like we talked about earlier, when there's a rental home and you treat it well, have you ever given someone a gift that they don't use? Or you see them using it and they're misusing it? And you're like, I gave that to you. You're not using that right. You're not using it at all. Why did I see it in your Goodwill box? And so the Lord gives you your ears. He gives you your eyes. He gives you those as a gift. So how are you using them? What are you listening to? What are you focusing on? I was mentioning music lyrics a little bit ago. And there are some catchy songs. I fumble back and forth between, oh, I like that secular song. So I'm not going to be up here and be like, all secular music is of the devil. Not going to say it. So if you go home and tell your mom I said it, I didn't say it. But there's things that you listen to that are not of God. And so what you listen to is going to affect you. Just like I had that really ridiculous song stuck in my head for the last 2 days, and I listened to maybe 15 seconds of it, I could have been focusing on a lot more things. And so I looked up some lyrics of some songs I thought you might be interested in. Payphone, Maroon 5. Did you guys know that that song's explicit? Did you know that? You know, there are some versions that aren't explicit, but if you look up on iTunes, it has the red box explicit around it. And down a little farther into the lyrics, when it says, happy ever after doesn't exist, still holding you like this, all those fairy tales are, it's not full of it, I'm just going to say that, it's full of something else. And then all those fairy tale, one more blank love song and I'll be sick. It's just full of all these things, but you're just bopping around like, catchy tune, that's kind of a cool song, I like it. You know, I'm over all this love, mushy-gushy stuff, I'm tired of it, so I'm going to sing that song to help me get over it. And then you get yourself deeper and deeper into a mood, and you find yourself singing things you didn't know that you were singing. Another one that I absolutely, and if you like it, I'm just going to, it's okay. Not really. what's it called? David Guetta? Guetta? Is that right? Okay. I can't erase, so I'll take blame, but I can't accept that we're strange without you. You know the song, without you, without you, without you? Gets higher and higher. I won't storm, I won't climb. If you're not here, I'm paralyzed without you. I can't look, I'm so blind. I lost my heart, I lost my mind without you. If a guy ever came to me and said, Jen, I'm paralyzed without you. I am blind without you. Do you think that like makes me go, oh my gosh, you're perfect? No, it makes me go, grow up. So when you're singing songs like this, do you think that's going to make me feel better about myself when I'm singing this? Like, I'm paralyzed, I'm blind, I can't do anything without you. I'm just a bump on a log. I'm a vegetable. I can't do anything. But that's what this sounds like. Okay, one last one. Call me maybe. Come on. Really? Really? Okay, bear with me for a minute. I threw a wish in the well. Don't ask me, I'll never tell. I looked to you as it fell, and now you're in my way. I trade my soul for a wish, pennies and a dimes for a kiss. I wasn't looking for this, but now you're in my way. Okay, if one of your friends came up to you and said, I would trade my soul for a wish, you'd be like, that's ridiculous. You should never say that. But yet you're singing it like every day times 10. Did you know that that's what you're saying? And the song, yeah, you know, so call me maybe. They repeat it 10 times, end of story. Like, that's the song. I get it. Nothing extremely crazy about this song, but it's catchy. It gets stuck in your head. I couldn't stand it to begin with. I can't stand it now, but I could probably recite it because it's everywhere. I hear it everywhere. It made it to number one song, I think, last week. And I thought, of all the songs in the world, how in the world did these really creative lyrics make it number one? But anyway, point being that what you're listening to is what you're talking about, which is getting deeper and deeper and deeper into your heart. And so you can listen to these songs. It's fun, you know, jam out in the car. I get it. Singing in the shower. Those are the two places you'll probably only hear me sing. I don't sing in public most of the time. But what you're saying and what you're listening to and what you're seeing, it's like a cycle. Your boundaries repeat cycles in your life. So whatever your guides are, whatever they are, that's going to affect what's going in, what's staying in, what's coming back out. And it's just a cycle. It keeps coming. And so just like this flower, if I want to change what color it is, I have to change its atmosphere. I have to change its environment. And so the next one is our mouth. What you talk about, what you confess. That's just as important as what you're looking at, what you're hearing. Turn with me to Psalms 19:14. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. This should be our prayer. This should be our confession, that whatever's coming out of my mouth is pleasing to him. Whatever I'm singing, whatever I'm talking about, whatever I'm confessing, that should be pleasing to his ears. It should be something he wants to hear, that he says, say that again, I want to hear that. Instead of, could you turn that off, please? And so what you're saying is just as important as all those other things. And especially when you guys say, I'm just kidding, I'm just joking. Out of the heart, the mouth is speaking. So you might cover up something with a, it's okay, it was just a joke. But you're still confessing something. You're still putting life into your words or into someone else's life. When it says the tongue can kill or nourish life, you're either building someone up or tearing them down. There's no middle line here. And so you have to watch what you're saying. I can't tell you how many times I talk to people, well, she said this and it made me feel this way. Or he said this and I haven't been able to get over it. I can't get that off my mind. And people take things that you mean so jokingly or so frivolous as serious. They take it to heart, just like you've taken some things to heart or you might not have been able to remember. And so let this be. May the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, O Lord. That should be what our confession is. That should be the measuring stick for what I talk about. Someone said up here, what do we talk about? Boys, girls, gossip, movies, Pinterest. Sometimes the things we talk about have no eternal value. No impact. Countless words. You're like, well, it was nothing. I read a couple weeks ago the scripture that says, you will give an account for everything you say. Every idle word is how it's written. So everything you say has impact. Everything you say has meaning in some form to somebody or to something. The next one is our actions. How do you spend your time? Turn with me to Proverbs 20. Verse 11. Even children are known by the way they act, whether their conduct is pure and whether it is right. Your boundaries, whether or not you know what they are very clear to others. How you act, what you say, what you do, shows other people what you believe or what you think about yourself. Have you ever heard the thing, I can't hear what you say because your actions are so loud? Sometimes what you're doing is so magnified in people's lives that you could be saying another thing, but they're going to be looking at what are you doing? Because that shows what you really believe. I can talk all day long about what I believe, but what I'm walking out is going to prove what I really believe. And so when we have these different boundaries, call it your ear gates, your eye gates, your mouth gates, as those things go in and then they come back out, those are going to determine what's produced in your life. And so tonight I'm not listing all these things to make fun of certain singers or to tell you that this is a waste of your time, because you need to have moments of fun. You need to have moments where you can just go on Pinterest and look at things you like or watch ESPN. At my house, that I think that's all we ever watched growing up. Those things are fun. But if it becomes your focus, just like Cassandra listed the Ten Commandments, if it becomes an idol, if it becomes something that takes all of your attention, then things have gotten off track. And so that's when your boundaries come in. What's priority? We've been talking about priorities. Where do things measure up in my life? Like the rocks in the sand last week. Are all your rocks in your basket? Now start pouring some sand in some free time. But make sure your rocks are in there, because if you pour in all the sand, there's not going to be room for your priorities, your rocks anymore. And just like this, if all my free time's spent in these kinds of things, it's going to affect when I go to minister. It's going to affect when I go to help a friend. I can't pull someone out of something if I'm in it with them. Does that make sense? Turn with me to John 15. Verse 4. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I am them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And so then it goes on to talk about what happens when you don't remain and abide in him. But if you aren't seeing the results that you want in your life, then look at your boundaries in those areas. If you're seeing something that you don't want in your life, a bad attitude, a habit, what are you doing? What are you feeding on that is allowing that bad habit or that attitude to grow? And so tonight, I'm not here to condemn you, don't listen to this, or you should stop watching that. I'm just here to say, watch out what you're putting. Remember when you were little, that song, be careful little ears, what you hear? Anybody heard that?
Yes, I love it.
And if that's all I'm going to sing, that wasn't even really singing. But this song has been in my head recently about, be careful ears, what are you hearing? Be careful eyes, what are you seeing? And so I'm just here to remind you, when you go to do something, when you go to watch something, when you turn on the radio to listen to something, let the Holy Spirit be turned up just as loud so that it can direct you. I was listening to a Christian song on the way here, and the Lord's like, turn it off and pray in tongues. So I just turned it off and started praying in tongues. I didn't know why. I didn't know what it was for, but I just knew that that was what I was supposed to do on my way here. And so there's times where maybe what you're doing isn't even bad, but he's trying to direct you into what he needs you to be doing, interceding for someone, being put across the right path with someone, not to be so fast in our ways that we can't take a second pause and be like, actually, I should be going this way, because he's directing your steps. But we don't want all these noises to be so loud that we can't hear his voice. We don't want to be so distracted by all these things that we're looking at all the time that what we should be looking at isn't right in front of us. And so tonight, when I've listed all these different things, I might have stepped on a few toes when I said Carly Rae, or when I mentioned a song, you're like, man, that was my favorite song. I'm not here to condemn you about that song. For me, I have a personal conviction there's certain songs that I just can't listen to, because they do get stuck in my head, and I do end up singing, or I end up thinking about something I shouldn't have been thinking about. When people are trying to get a breakup and then they listen to these songs that are angry and I hate this and I hate that, that's not helping them out of the breakup. It's just creating another emotion that's unhealthy. You go from being depressed to angry. Neither are a good place to be. And so when you guys are wanting to get encouraged and get out of something, you have to do a change of direction. And so tonight, my encouragement to you is, if you're looking at something you shouldn't be looking at, give it to the Lord. Say, Lord, how do you want me to handle this situation? Am I supposed to throw it away, give it away, whatever it is? Because some things may not necessarily be bad to you, but it might have become an idol to you. And so you're supposed to give it away, throw it away, whatever that is. And so this is just kind of an assessment for you guys. Identify, what are those things? What are you allowing your eyes to look at? What are you allowing your ears to hear? What are you allowing your mouth to say? What are you allowing yourself to do? And I was doing that today. I was thinking about, okay, what things do I have that maybe aren't pleasing to the Lord? And that's the bottom line. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So whatever I'm watching, whatever I'm listening to, whatever I'm doing, I should be able to do it for his glory. I should be able to do it in his name and give him honor, so that when I'm around other people, being an example, being a child of the Most High, that it points back to him instead of, oops, I can't tell them who I am because what I did is a direct opposite of what I believe. And so these are just things for you guys to think about. Just like in John 15, it says, when something doesn't produce fruit, cut it off. Take it out. Get rid of it. And so there's some things in your life that are producing something you don't want, then you cut those off. That's how you prune trees. You cut off the bad branches so it can keep growing up. You cut off things that are dead so it can keep growing fuller. And so that's just what this is about. What are some areas that we can prune? What are some areas we can cut that we can define in our lives? And it's not easy because we all have our own convictions. You know, your best friend may have this favorite song and you're like, you know, I really shouldn't listen to that. And so there's ways to be tactful where you don't go around with earplugs on or slapping people's hands, you can't listen to that, and telling them, don't do this, don't do that. But that you're sensitive to those things, that you're so full of him that those things don't affect you either. That when you're out in the world, that you're so full of light, that you're so full of his word, that you're not easily affected by those things either. And so when you have these different things going on in your life that are distractions or that are pulling you this way and pulling you that way, it goes back to our theme scripture that we talked about in Psalms. Show me your ways, O Lord, that I might live in your truth. And so tonight, we're just looking at some of his ways. We're looking at his truth. What are some of those things that he wants you focusing on? Redirecting what you're looking at. Redirecting what you're listening to. I've always tried to make priorities of the day. I do this before I do this. And when this is done, then I can go on to this. But until this is done, I know your parents have probably tried to help you guys with that, with homework and with chores and with different things. You guys are still dependent on instruction, still dependent on guidance. And so that's what these boundaries are. They're not steadfast rules. I'm not going to tell you specifically what you can and can't listen to, what you can and can't watch. That's not what this is about. It's about you taking time this weekend saying, Lord, where's my focus? We've been talking about priorities. And I've asked some of you, have you done it? And some of you kind of raise your hand or, well, I've thought about it. But it's important to know what you want and where you're going, because that's what's going to guide your attention. And so when these things come along, it's not about do's and don'ts. It's about, what do I need to get where I'm going? What resources, what information is going to get me to where I'm going? Where should my time be spent? And so these things, what you hear, what you see, what you do, those are all direct reflection of the fruit in your life. So if you want to change the fruit, you change what you eat. And that can be a joke. You are what you eat, like I said earlier, but what you're putting in is what you're getting out. If you want to get something out different, then let's start putting in things that are different. We can say we want change, but we have to change to get change. Are you with me? Yes? So tonight, let's let Psalms 86:11 be our confession. Let's let that be what we want, what we say, and let our actions and our words pattern after it. So say after me, show me your ways, O Lord, that I might live according to your truth. So this week, take some time. Say, Lord. Well, no, what I mean is, in your quiet time, say, Lord, talk to him. You don't have to repeat me anymore. Ask him, Lord, what is your way? What am I supposed to be doing? Help me live according to your truth. So if this is the way I'm to go, help me get there. What do I need to adjust to get there? What are some things that I need to tweak a little or cut out a little so that I can be on that path, so I can get there? We talked about in Proverbs 4:23 about the path of purpose. Earlier, I started off with talking about guarding your heart. That's what these boundaries are, is we're putting things in place to help you get where you need to go, to equip you with what you need so that you can get there. So it's not about these lines that are keeping us in. It's really about the goal. And I want the focus to be more and more about the goal, about the prize, about what's ahead of you, because that's what you should be focused on, not like, ooh, I don't want to mess up, I don't want to do this. When you're focused on him, when you're focused on what you're supposed to be doing, the other little things just kind of disappear. They're just helping guide you. They're like subconscious boundaries. It's not what you're going to be focusing on. I remember growing up, I was so legalistic in some things, and I would get on myself if I messed up, and I had to get my eyes off of, I'm doing this for the Father. He knows my heart. And so if there's some areas where you're hurting, you're beating yourself up over some things, just like this red, it represents the blood. It just covers it right up. And then that's what becomes, it permeates through you. So just like this negative, well, blue, not the blue's negative for all you blue lovers out there, but this represents what you don't want. And then when you pour that blood in, it just permeates throughout and it covers it all. And so if there's some areas where you haven't missed it, made the mark, if you've missed it, that's what this blood's here for. That's what Jesus is here for. And so it's an easy correction. It's a simple thing. Lord, forgive me for watching this. Forgive me for doing this. Forgive me for saying this. Teach me your ways. I want to follow you. And that's as simple as it is. It's not something to beat yourself over the head with. It's not something to pick on your brother or sister for. Just like you would want to be treated with that same mercy and grace is how you're going to help lead people in that mercy and grace. Amen? So let Psalms 86 be your prayer this weekend. Show me your ways, Lord, that I might live in your truth. And that's what I have for you tonight.
Yeah. 1440 is a ministry of Eagle Mountain Church. For more information or if you have any questions about what you have heard here, visit 1440.com or email staff@1440.com.